Well, it would be nice if we could actually go through all those verses. We'll probably just go through verse 21. This verse 19 starts off, don't lay up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. Earthly treasures. Why don't we treasure the earthly? Well, he's going to be revealing to us right off the bat why we are not to treasure the earthly. As we've been looking at Matthew chapter 6, what we have seen is that we have a different kingdom, and we do things differently in this kingdom. As we follow the kingdom of heaven, we follow the kingdom of our Father. And so when we pray to our Father in heaven. When we give as unto our Father in heaven. When we fast for the things that are pleasing to our Father in heaven. It's all for our Father in heaven. We do not do it to be seen by men. We do it because of our love for Him. It is now at this point that really, I think, Jesus hits the crux of the matter. It is all about what you treasure the most. The word treasure there is clearly defining for us that which is valuable to me, to you. What do you value most? What is it that you hold near and dear to your heart? What do you esteem the most? Well, whatever you treasure, whatever you value, will have an effect upon your heart. And we're going to be looking at that effect as we go through. But let's start off and ask ourselves why we wouldn't treasure the things of the earth, because it seems just natural. And it is a natural thing that happens, that we have proclivities to draw towards the things of the earth. Why is it we should not do that? Well, he starts off this way in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourself treasures upon the earth. And now he gives you the reason. Where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. I call it the animal atmosphere Adam problem. That is to say that you're going to have the insects that destroy. Actually, the word moth there is directly related to cloth and clothing, which is interesting because it immediately begins to demonstrate that it affects one thing that we value so much, and that is our appearance. The way that we and garb ourselves, the things that we hold near and dear. What are those things? He says, well, if it's the clothing that you put on, that's going to be going. The moth will eat it up. And then he talks about the rust, which is the corrosion. And once again, the word itself makes the inference of an eating away, a corruptibility. And I think one of the things that he's pointing to is the accomplishments of men, the things that man molds, the things that he builds. That's going to corrode. It will be eaten away. It will not last. And then the last thing that he talks about is, of course, the things that the thieves come in and break in. And actually the phrase that is used there in the Greek is they dig through the walls. The walls were such where you could actually dig through them to get into the house. And those are really referring to our possessions, aren't they? Things that we begin to store up for ourselves, begin to value. Our accomplishments, our possessions, our appearance are all things that we hold near and dear to our hearts. But within the passage, he is making it very clear these are all prone to dissipate. In fact, what he says is moth and rust are going to decay. They are going to be destroyed. They are going to corrupt. They're going to be consumed. They're going to be disfigured. They will ultimately be caused to vanish away. So why is it you shouldn't invest in the world? Because it's going to be gone. Nothing is safe. Nothing is sure. Nothing is stable. Nothing is secure. Nothing is lasting in this earth. Why would you invest in something that's not going to last? Peter puts it this way in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat. The elements. Think about that. The Greek word stoichia is like the atoms. It's what they, all the, even the atoms, the elements, you know, you think of chemistry. See, you studied chemistry for nothing because they're all going to be destroyed. And so you learned all that stuff for nothing. All the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its work will be burned up. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 2, verse 22, it's all destined to perish. I guess that's why in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, it's called the passing pleasures of sin. Passing by, clearly, is the point. Romans chapter 8 tells us that all the world has been subjected to futility. And probably one of the best descriptions of what that futility is about its decaying. And that's why Paul says, though our outer man is decaying, that is to say that everything on this earth is subject to futility, it's subject to nothingness, it's subject to emptiness, it's subject to void. It will ultimately go away. It is the curse of the earth. And by the way, Ecclesiastes even says, even if I do accumulate a lot of stuff and I die and I leave it to somebody else, in chapter 2 he says, who am I going to leave it to? Some moron that doesn't know what he's doing with it and going to waste it? I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know how he's going to use it. I don't know how it's going to be used. I can't control it. I'm no longer living. And so he begins to reveal the frustration of wondering even who will get it. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, if you turn with me, there is the warning that we don't immerse ourselves in the things of the world or the gain of the world or the riches of the world. One of the warnings that Paul was given to Timothy was that there were those that were actually going into ministry for the purpose of gain. That is to say, financial gain. Imagine that. Never heard of such a thing. 1 Timothy chapter 6 reads this way. If anyone advocates different doctrines, does not agree with the sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrines conforming to godliness, and let me just say this, the doctrine conforming to godliness is one of submissiveness, not grandiosity. It is one of giving, not one of taking. He is conceited and understands nothing, and he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is actually a means of making money. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world. You're not taking anything out. He then says, if we have food and covering, with these we should be content. But those who want to get rich, the desire to get rich, fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith, pierced themselves with a lot of troubles, a lot of pain. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue that which is lasting: righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 12, a familiar story is given to us. One that reminds us of what is really important. Luke chapter 12, within the context, one from the crowd, as Jesus is teaching, calls out to Jesus and asks him to tell his brother to divide the family inheritance with him. That's verse 13. Then verse 15, Jesus says this, and he said to them, beware, be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. Why should you not invest in the earthly? Because it's not, doesn't have anything to do with your life. You're stacking up things that have no value to your life. He told them a parable, saying, in the land there was a certain rich man, very productive. He began reasoning with himself, saying, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. And he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns. I'll build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods, the things that I value. And I will say to my soul, so you have many goods laid up for many years. Come, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? That's what Ecclesiastes says. So is the man who lays up treasure for himself That's the key phrase. And is not rich towards God. We know that knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies, always concerned about doing for others. Those who are laying up for themselves are wasting their life away. Treasures on the earth. And you know, what's interesting about this particular passage is it comes from that one crying from the crowd and is desirous of having his brother give him his money. Is he is willing to sacrifice one of the most valuable commodities that man can ever have on this earth and in all eternity, and that's a relationship with his brother. And he is willing to give it up for what is temporary money. Scripture reminds us over and over again that the things of the earth are temporary, they're passing, we can't take it with us. It's all destined to perish. And yet, in the passage, it tells us that there's actually another reason why we would not invest in the treasures of the earthly. If you read it with me, it'll tell us. Verse 20. Matthew 6, verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. The great thing about the passage is telling us that you actually have a choice. I mean, it's one thing if you didn't have a choice. This is all you had. You could only invest in the earthly. But you actually have a choice. You have the option to invest in things that will last forever. It's like someone walking up to you and say, okay, would you like something forever or would you like something just a few days? I mean, what contest is there? Would you like something forever and wonderful and grand and glorious and far exceeds anything that you could ever do for this moment, or would you just have the passing pleasure of this moment? And we have an option. And the reason why we don't invest in the earthly is we have something far, far better. I mean, it's not to be compared with the glories that are following. That's Romans chapter 8. Isn't that the great declaration of Paul? I tell you, there's no comparison. There is absolutely no comparison. Peter will say the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 1. We have something incorruptible reserved in heaven for us that will not fade away. What a wonderful, wonderful truth. We do not treasure the earthly. It is not valuable. Now the passage goes on and states this in verse 21, which really is a springboard for where we begin to go at this point. And that is to say, then why what we treasure, why the things that we treasure, why do those things matter so much? Why is it so important what we treasure? Why is it important that we treasure the right things? Well, he's going to state that in verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The things that you value, the things that you hold near and dear to your heart, the things that you think are worth something, that which you esteem the most, is where your heart will be. You say, Pastor Gary, why is that such a big issue? Because what you treasure in your heart will affect your life. Turn with me to Psalm 119, if you would. Psalm chapter 119. It starts off in 119. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Once again, how happy. You want happiness in your life? How happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. One of the reasons why people are so miserable is because they're walking in their own understanding. Verse 2, how blessed, once again, how happy are those who observe his testimonies, watch verse 2, who seek him, that is to say, who will treasure him with all their heart. One of the great benefits of treasuring the right thing is it can either bring happiness or sorrow. If you treasure the right things, if you value the right things, you know, a lot of times people, quote unquote, get religion so that they can get what they want from God. But what we're talking about is, are those that actually love God. You actually love Him. The things that you do because you love Him. You treasure Him. You treasure relationship with Him. If you treasure the right things, it will change your life. It will change the destiny of your life. It will change the character of your life. It will change the attitude of your life. You'll actually be happy if you treasure God and if you treasure the things of the earth. In fact, if you drop on down a little bit further with me, it says in verse 10 this, "With all my heart I have sought thee. Do not let me wander from thy commandment." Verse 11, "Thy word have I" what? "Treasured in my heart." And what does that do? It actually causes me to stop sinning. What's the secret to stop sinning? Love God. Treasuring God. Treasuring the things of God. Treasuring the word of God. Set your affections on things above where Christ is seated. It is that longing for Him. It will change your life. Now, this kind of works antithetically too. I mean, if in fact you're having difficulty with your sins, what's the problem? You're not loving God. So that's pretty clear. You're not treasuring the right things. It's all about treasure. So treasure literally affects your life. It affects what happens to you. If you look with me in Psalm chapter 37. Great and glorious truth in this, once again, famous psalm that we've all embraced in some way or at some time or another. Psalm chapter 37. "Trust in the Lord," verse 3, "do good, dwell in the land, cultivate faithfulness, delight yourself in" who? What is your treasure? "In the Lord. And what will happen? He'll give you the desires of your heart." Now, there's a key point here, and that is this, that what man really is looking for is he's looking for ultimate fulfillment. He's looking for ultimate success. He's looking for ultimate well-being. He's looking for eternal pleasure and joy. Where does he find it? In treasuring the right things. It's very clear. What do you delight in? Who do you delight in? What do you treasure more than anything else? And then what will you find? Well, he says, look, you're going to inherit the land. I mean, that's what the whole chapter is about. All the benefits are yours. All these joys are yours. Fulfillment and success and wonderment. It's all yours. Why? Because you delighted in me. Why does what we treasure matter? Because it literally changes the course of our life. What you treasure changes everything. Your attitude, your fulfillment, the success of your life. What do you treasure the most? Now, parents, I got to put this in. You've got to treasure God more than your kids. And until you do, you're not going to reap the benefits that God has. Oh, but I just want my kid to be saved, or I just want my kid to do this or love this. Then love God with all your heart. He'll fix them. Amen. Treasuring God is going to be the result. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. We begin to see that the right treasures actually change our speech. Matthew chapter 12. Just look with me in verse 34. "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart." Watch verse 35. "The good man out of his good treasures." Okay, so what is it that affects the speech that comes out of your mouth? What you treasure. If you're treasuring the right things, then out of that treasure will come speech that is appropriate. The good man out of his good treasure brings forth what is good. The evil man out of his evil treasure, he treasures other stuff. He values other stuff. Brings forth what is evil. I say to you that every careless word that a man shall speak, they shall render account of it for on the day of judgment, for by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. In other words, that phrase, careless word, I think, is oftentimes and probably can be literally translated Freudian slips. That is to say, there are times that you'll say things, you'll say, I didn't mean it, but Freud would say, no, you really did mean it. That's how you actually do feel. That's what really came out of your heart. And I think that's what he's saying within the passage. Because if your heart is right, even your slip-ups will be beneficial. They'll be glorious. They'll be helpful. They'll be godly. And what he's talking about is what is in your heart. Look with me in Luke chapter 6. Basically, the same truth is being revealed. Luke chapter 6. And we'll drop all the way down to verse 43. For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. But a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasures bring forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Treasuring the right things will make you speak and make your speech beneficial. It'll make your life productive. Bear good fruit. How do I accomplish good things for the Lord? I long to make an impact in this world as long as I'm here. Treasure the right stuff. Or Peter will put it this way in 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Sanctify Christ as Lord of your life, and you'll be ready to give an answer to every man of the hope that's within you. In other words, if you've been treasuring him all along, you're treasuring the right things all along, what's the ramifications of this? What are the benefits of this? Well, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to thee, O Lord. And we understand that God will make us beneficial if we just simply treasure the right things. This is how pivotal this is in your life. This is what it's so strange that we perceive religion as something that is so surface and so external that it really leaves out the most important issue, and that is what you treasure in your heart. That it can't be an object of show, it can't be an object of performance. It has to be something that you really love. This is why Jesus, when he comes to Peter towards the end, after he'd been resurrected, and Peter's trying to find some sort of a forgiveness, I guess, redemption through all of this, and he turns to Peter. And the question isn't, Peter, do you believe in me? The question is, Peter, do you love me? Because God knows if you treasure him, you'll put your trust in him. Because the root of who you value, what you value, is where you're going to put your hope in, is what you're going to put your faith in. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, you might want to turn there just for the purpose of marking it. We'll just turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul is telling Timothy as he's coming to the end of his life that he has fought the good fight, he has finished the course, he has kept the faith. But then he states this in verse 8 of 2 Timothy 4. In the future there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but all those who have done a tremendous amount of work in their Sunday school class. It's about treasuring. Look at the verse. But those who have longed for his appearing, what are you treasuring? There is a crown of righteousness for those who long for his appearing. Because their faith is in his power. They want to be with him. I've been saying quite frequently now, but just have seen this way too much, that people are way too in love with ministry and very few are in love with God. And it is such a sad thing for me to see. Who loves God? That's the question. And those who love God will be used by God. God has the power to put us where he wants to. God has the power to open up the doors. But the question is, who do you love? What do you treasure? What do you value? What we treasure literally defines what we will become. And I think probably one of the best passages that reveal this is found in Psalm 115. Psalm 115, if you read it with me, begins to talk about the different things that man has gone towards, gravitated towards, and begun to worship. A very astute and poignant statement is given within the text, Psalm 115. It starts off with this clear cry: "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to thy name give glory." Now, you know, if you and I treasure the accolades of men, if we treasure the recognition of men, then where is the reward? It's only earthly. It will fade away. Not to us. Why are we so in love with God? Why do we treasure him so much? Because of thy loving kindness. Because there's nobody so true as you. Unfortunately, the nations don't see it because of our testimony is so weak. And he turns in this question in verse 2 and says, why should the nations say, where is their God? What's obvious is it's easy to see what the world loves. You can see their gods because they invest so much time in their gods. And you can see the zeal and the passion that they have for their gods. But why should the nations wonder where ours is? In other words, where's the reflection of our hearts? They can't see what we treasure? He talks about the idols and the things that men embrace. And he begins to describe them. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, they cannot feel. They have feet, they cannot walk. They cannot make a sound with their throat. Watch verse 8. Be careful what you treasure, because what is the result? Verse 8. Those who make them will become like them, everyone who trusts in them. Why does it make a difference what we treasure? Well, clearly the things that we treasure begins to set the course of our life. It changes the way we think. It changes even our attitude towards things. It can make us happy. It can make us sad. We can have the same day. On one day be extremely happy because we treasure the right things. On another day be extremely sad because we treasure the wrong things. It will literally change who we are, though. Paul talks about the fact that we behold his face and we begin to be transformed into his image. Now, why are we being transformed into his image? Listen to the phrase. Because we are beholding his face. Because we long to be like Christ. And if this is the treasure of your heart, then the transformation of your life will be a metamorphosis of sorts that will cause you to look like him. Whatever your God is, whatever the thing you treasure, you'll become like. And if that's not enough reason, I can't think of one. Because Scripture is very clear, that which we seek affirmation from, that which we love the most, is that which we will be like. The heart. Whatever you treasure, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It will change your life. Shall we bow for prayer? Father, we come before you today and we ask you to do a work in our desires. Oh Lord, we see that the problem is not about the temptation of the world, it's about the desires of our hearts. And once our desire is right, our life is right. Sin begins to dissipate because we don't treasure it anymore. We treasure your word. Thy word, if we treasured in our hearts, that keeps us from sinning against you. When we treasure things above, our speech is appropriate. Our life becomes beneficial. The things that we say actually helps people. Even when we say things accidentally. Christ is Lord of our lives, begins to speak because our treasure was right. The things that we treasure cause us to be happy, changes our attitude. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. So what you treasure makes a difference. The question you have to ask yourself is today, what's valuable to me? More than anything else. And if at the end of that sentence is not God, then you are doomed to waste, futility, destruction, disappointment, frustration, confusion, futility of the world. But those who invest and love God reap life, everlasting, purpose, fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore. What do you treasure? You pray a sunny place. Trade you.
my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God.
Would you rise and sing a song?
My heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you.
So, Father, we give you our lives. We say to you today, we actually believe this stuff. We believe that if we love you more than anything, you somehow take care of everything else in our lives. We believe this, and we look forward to the great things you have done. In Jesus' name, amen.